This is the Dan Grosser Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Larry Hardesty, Gordon Damer in for Dan Grosser. 1-800-919-3776. Also via X, formerly Twitter, at Hardesty ESPN, at ESPN NY 98 underscore 7 FM, at Gordon Damer. Harvey and Chantel along for the ride this evening until 9 o'clock and then until 8:30. I'm sorry, at 9 o'clock. It's Rangers Avalanche. At 8:30 is the pregame show. That's when our coverage begins. Right here on 98.7 ESPN. Hello, Gordon.
Larry, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to the audience.
Okay.
I'm a little distracted.
Why? Is there some baseball game going on or something?
Yeah, the Yankees hopefully can hang on to this win. What would be a very nice opening day victory. Down 4-0, down 3-0 right away. You feel like the wheels are coming off with Nestor. He gives up another run in the second inning and then kind of settles down from there. And the Yankees early on, guys, leaving a small village on the base paths. And not only are able to come back and tie it, but grab the lead. And now you've turned it over to the bullpen, which should be a Yankee strength. So it would be a very nice opening day victory down in Houston against the Astros, but we got to get these final few outs.
All right, while you're watching, let's try to help you along with your distractions.
Okay.
And this will keep you focused as we'll stay on this topic for a minute.
Please.
Take me through this roller coaster. Opening inning, you know, Nestor struggling a little bit. Okay, he hadn't been out there for, you know, first time in, what, 2 years almost?
It does feel that way, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so he hangs in there, he settles down. Let's just talk about, just give me your thoughts on Nestor and how he kind of surprised you in the sense that he was able to settle down.
Well, I mean, that first inning, they put a bunch of guys on and they all, you know, they jump out to the 3-0 lead. And yes, it's opening day. It's only the first game, but they're after last year, there's and against who you're playing, right? If this were maybe the Mariners or some nondescript team, you'd be thinking to yourself, it's not that bad. It's
one game.
But when it's the Astros, you feel like, oh boy, here we go again. It's going to it's going to be one of those kind of days. And it's frustrating. It's compounded by the fact that they go out and they have guys on base basically in every inning early on and double play. So I didn't feel great about Nestor early on. Even when he gives up the home run, I know it was only a solo home run, but still, 4-0 is a pretty big hole to climb out of. But I think it was maybe the fourth inning. He got a couple of strikeouts there, and then he gave up the double, and then he got the final out of the inning. I felt like, all right, well, look, it was not good early. That first inning was a real disaster. And then when the Yankees get a few runs, you feel a whole lot better about things.
Let's be honest, Gord, and I know it's day one, game one, okay? But we've known each other a while. We can be honest with each other. If this is last year's offense, Gordon, this game is over.
Yeah, probably.
I'm just telling you right now, it's over. Game is over if this is last year's offense.
Yeah, more than likely. And I think what you've seen already, it's nice to see a couple of the new guys having an immediate impact. Obviously, Juan Soto with the big RBI, Verdugo with the big RBI, but also some nice plays in left field. Left field last year was not only a black hole in terms of offense, it was a black hole in terms of defense. I mean,
I will not have you speak about IFK that way. I will not.
IKF, yeah.
IKF, right.
It was an adventure every time a ball, and it was a list of guys that were an adventure. So Verdugo, he's the move where I don't know if most Yankee fans are really on board with that move. Clearly, everybody's on board with Soto. You have to be on board with Soto. But Verdugo, that relies a little bit more on the Yankee judgment, which has not been very good here the last few years. They're saying he's going to be a better version of himself than he was even with the Red Sox. We'll have to see if that turns out to be the case, but at least if for one game, offensively and certainly defensively, he has been a massive upgrade over what you had last year.
I mean, he chased down the ball in the alley last inning.
That
last year is going to the wall.
Well, maybe somebody would have got a glove on it, but only a glove on it. It would have been rolling around and everything else. It would have been a nightmare. So let's hope that they can get these final, six outs and put up a nice little Yankee win on opening day.
Yeah, now Hader's warming up in the bullpen for Houston, but you've got Ian. I like Hamilton, Gordon.
Yeah,
he's got a little pop in the fastball. He's got some movement on there. I like what he brought to the table last year.
Yeah, and Loaisiga did give up some hits today in the two innings, but I mean those are a big two innings of work right there, right? To get it from the sixth to get it to the eighth. So the Yankee bullpen, you always expect it to be a strength. Sometimes it's not a strength. Sometimes there's a little figuring things out early on.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that will turn out to be the case. This is the A team, though, right? They have like two teams that out of that bullpen. They have the A team, which is the lock it down kind of guys. And then they have the B team where they're hoping that there's some real finds out of that and they kind of work some magic over the course of the season. And then by the time you hopefully you get to midseason, you got a real plan coming out of that bullpen. So hopefully the A team is able to get this done.
Yes. Now, let's continue to talk a little baseball, Gordon, because I want to keep you focused on what you're doing.
Yes.
Got to be concerned, though. So the Yankees, Gerrit Cole placed on the 60-day IL due to the elbow. Not surprised. They made the move due to the inflammation of the elbow. He said on March 16th, nerve irritation was the source of the problem. He pitched twice during the spring. It's got to be disappointing not to have him out there for opening day in this game like this. Especially Houston. I mean, anybody, even if you said Seattle or whatnot, it's your ace, but especially your arch rival.
Yeah, because he was the one guy in the rotation where you kind of know what you're going to get. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be the Cy Young again, but you feel like every fifth day he's the guy that you know for sure. All right, it's Gerrit Cole day. We're going to get a good performance from our starter. Everybody else, it's a complete crapshoot. That's why being able to come back and win this game today is kind of like finally important because I don't know what I'm going to get tomorrow, you know?
Yeah, yeah, no question about it. Speaking of not knowing what you're going to get, Rob Manfred hopes Shohei Ohtani's investigation is brief, Gordon.
I bet he does, Larry. No truer statement has ever been uttered by Rob Manfred.
The MLB commissioner said the league is committed to its investigation of the scandal surrounding the Dodgers star and hopes it will take a short time to resolve. Now, last week, you remember Ippi Mitsuhara, Ohtani's former interpreter, was fired after questions surrounding at least $4.5 million in wire transfers were sent from the superstar's bank account to a bookmaking operation. Now, Ohtani has said that Mitsuhara repeatedly took money from his accounts to fund his illegal sports gambling bet. Manfred said it's important to assure the fans about the integrity of the game. He's absolutely right. It is important for you to assure the fans about the integrity of the game, Gordon. And, you know, it's also nice if you didn't send people overseas and make them play preseason games when it's almost time for the regular season. There's a bunch of things that's wrong with baseball.
Yeah, well, I think that there's two separate things. Yes, I'm sure Rob Manfred would like to convince fans of the integrity of the game. That's not the same thing as getting to the bottom of what happened with Shohei Ohtani.
Right.
Right? Like, if you told Rob Manfred, well, we're not going to really get you any answers on what happened there, but we will be able to convince the baseball viewing public of the integrity of the game, he would absolutely take the one at the expense of the other.
No question.
And I don't think maybe I'm just jaded and an old man and stuck in my ways. I don't think that there's a single baseball fan who is expecting Major League Baseball, led by Rob Manfred's investigation, to get us any answers whatsoever that makes sense.
How about the Astros hanging into a double play for a change, huh?
Yeah, look at that. A little twin killing there. Nice.
So we move to the ninth. Gordon, let's face it. I don't know how this is going to turn out. I just have a feeling it's not going to turn out well. I don't know. But, you know, to be fair, Manfred takes a lot of criticism, and rightfully so. But when people talk about the whole scenario of him going back to the Astros and whatnot, and none of the players were, I mean, he kind of gave the players, you know, a deal so he could find out what happened. So going in, you knew the players weren't, nothing was going to happen to the players.
Right, but nothing happened to the organization either that really hurt. You know, the organization would make that. I think they got fined or something like that, but they didn't take away the trophy. They didn't put an asterisk on anything. Mm-hmm, they didn't really punish them in any significant way.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And, you know, I've heard a lot of people saying this Ohtani, this could be a bigger scandal than anything we've seen since the Black Sox. No, the Astros is still the bigger scandal.
Absolutely.
Having a team illegally using technology to their benefit. That's a bigger scandal than something that's happening with betting. Unless it turns out that he was betting on his own performance or betting against his own performance. We're a long way from that. I know there's been a lot of comparisons to Pete Rose, and Pete Rose, God, anytime he can get something to put him back in the spotlight, he's going to jump at it.
Oh, yeah.
This has nothing to do with Pete Rose as of yet. Let's see if we see, the problem is it just feels like we're never going to get real answers. Baseball doesn't want to find out real answers.
Nope.
And I don't think that the law investigating agencies, either the FBI or whoever's looking into this, they're not going to go after the person who's using it. They're going after the person who's supplying it.
Right.
So I don't think there's going to be any answers. It's just going to be something that lingers. And I'm sure baseball in a week or two, oh, well, you know what? We didn't find anything, guys. Oh, well.
we'll keep searching.
Oh, sure.
We'll keep searching. Yeah. Or well, listen, there was a thorough investigation. I can hear Manfred now. There was a thorough investigation. Thorough.
Right.
And they came up with nothing. So, you know, obviously there's nothing to be found because
nothing can be cleared up until they tell us, anybody tells us, how the interpreter got access to Ohtani's banking information. Mm-hmm. That makes, you don't have to be a big-time gambler. That does not pass the smell test to a six-year-old.
It does not. It does not. You know, Gordon, I must admit, and I know 25, I think it was, I forgot what the amount was. I think I heard 20 seconds or something like that, or I don't remember what it was, but I thought that was pretty good for Stanton to get down first base and on the infield hit. I think there was a timer. Somebody had like a 20 seconds, 22 seconds. And they said that was faster than at any time he moved anywhere last season. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, look, he looks a little slimmer. I don't think that you're ever going to get foot speed is never going to be a strength of his game.
No.
And here's the thing. He has to play at a level where we're not talking about his foot speed.
Exactly.
Right, if he's doing anywhere close to what he's doing, nobody's going to care about his foot speed.
That's
but
right.
Unfortunately, last year he was a disaster in every just about every phase of the game. Yeah. So the foot speed became a bigger issue.
It did. It definitely did. It really, really did. So, you know, just curious about. Oh, so let me ask you this, Gordon, because I know you're so involved in this Yankee game. How does Rizzo look to you today?
He looked like himself, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of those ones that's an if, but it feels like that if should be a little closer to a known quantity. If he's over the concussion, and by this point you'd like to think, geez, yeah, he should be over it by now, then he should get back to where Anthony Rizzo is as a player. So hopefully that is the case, because he's another guy. You know, kind of flies under the radar with some of the additions and some of the other questions. But he's a big bat. I would not be surprised if he ends up hitting fourth a lot of times. I know Stanton was hitting cleanup today, but try to break up the lefties and the righties that way. It wouldn't surprise me if he ends up hitting cleanup more times.
Oh, absolutely, because he's the better contact hitter of the two.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even close.
No.
I'm kind of enjoying watching.
And look, if Soto and Judge are getting on base, even if they're not hitting home runs per se, but they're on base, that's what you want somebody in that spot that's not going to be swing and miss and a double play threat.
Yeah, you like, want some contact there.
Right.
Definitely do. Well, I will say this. With the Met opening day tomorrow against the Milwaukee Brew Crew, they were right to call the game. It has rained steadily.
Yeah,
they got this one right, Gordon.
They got it right. The only thing when you call it well ahead of time is you don't want something to change, and there's always that possibility that something changes, and then all of a sudden you have a beautiful sunny day. I'm pretty sure the Yankees one time snowed out a game.
Yes.
It was a few years ago now, but they snowed out a game, and the next day it was perfectly fine. There was no snow, so you have the potential of looking kind of silly.
Yeah, there's no question about that. No question about that. Well, Gordon is still relentlessly watching this Yankees-Astros game. We'll step away. We'll come back, and we'll talk a little NBA and some NFL, Gordon. They just can't help themselves, Gordon. Jets are back in the news. They're back.
Yep. It's been about 3 days. We talk about going 5 days or 6 days without a Yankee injury.
Yes.
We can't go 3 days without a Jet story popping up from somewhere.
Yeah, it's amazing. And this one is, we'll talk about it next. It's Hardesty and Damon for Grasso on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Dan Grasso Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Hardesty and Damian for Grasso on 98.7 ESPN. And Gordon, I'm sure when you heard that, you kind of were, you understand the logic behind it.
Uh-huh, absolutely.
You know, but it can't be something you enjoyed hearing.
No, on opening day. No, that's not.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, that's not what you're looking for, but it's kind of hard to disagree with them considering we don't know if or when Gerrit Cole is going to come back. There's at least until he's a little further along in this rehab process, we don't know if he's coming, if he's going to pitch at all this year.
Yeah.
So you lose the American League Cy Young from your rotation, an area that already was the weakest part, if we draw it up, offense, bullpen, defense, starting pitching. Mm-hmm. I think that's the weakest part of your team overall. So, yeah, I can't say that I necessarily disagree with them, right? If the rotation is going to be Rodon, Stroman, Clark Schmidt, Cortez, and Heel for a good majority of the season, it would not shock me at all if the Yankees don't make the playoffs.
Yeah, but I still think they have enough offense to win games.
Oh, no, look, I don't think that they're going to be as bad as they were last year. I think they're a better team than they were last year in terms of offense and in terms of defense. And the bullpen is usually a strength. But that's assuming right now that you get those guys on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Rodon is coming off a season where he was hurt constantly. Cortez is coming off a season where he was hurt constantly. Schmidt is coming off a season where he pitched more innings than ever before. So you lose one or two of those guys, and then all of a sudden you got a real issue.
Yeah, no question about it. You
got
know.
Him! Bang! Sorry.
No, we love it. We love it. Nice. Love the reaction. Good job, Gordon.
Yeah. Juan Soto, known for his defense, Larry. You don't run on Juan Soto.
That's right. Paying dividends already.
Yep.
He's psyched, too.
I think it's the right call. I hope so.
Yeah,
it's
going
to be a real
right
downer
call.
If it's not. I don't see anything that tells me otherwise. It looks like he got him. Yeah, it took a little while for him to get to the plate. He kind of took a weird route.
Can I just say this? And this transcends sports. Today's athlete, everybody wants to replay, point to the replay.
Yep.
I don't care what it is. I didn't touch him at all.
You don't really have an angle to know whether or not he got him, but
if he did touch him,
he's definitely out.
Yeah. I think the back one.
I would say there's nothing. There's a different one now here. Yeah, again, nothing there that tells you whether he touched him or not.
Mm-hmm.
So if the initial call is he's out, you'd have to say he's out.
Yeah. Yep. Man. While we're watching this, let's listen to Jeff Passan, because obviously Gerrit Cole is not the only thing that he's concerned about with the Yankees this year.
Just their age. It's an old team. Aaron Judge is into his 30s now. Giancarlo Stanton old, Anthony Rizzo old, DJ LeMahieu old, like... I understand there's an infusion of talent with Anthony Volpe. Austin Wells is going to get some time at catcher. And of course, they traded for Juan Soto. I think he's going to have a monster season. And if anything, it's going to be the Judge-Soto connection that makes me look foolish here. But I just look at the rest of the American League, and I think there are better teams out there. And I question the Yankees starting pitching without Cole. Who's going to be the dude? Is it going to be Carlos Rodon? Is it going to be Nestor Cortez? Is it going to be Marcus Stroman? Don't get me wrong. I don't think the Yankees are going to collapse. I think they're going to be better than they were last year. I just think there are other teams in the American League who have a better chance to make the playoffs.
All right. So once again, you understand what Jeff is saying. He's giving you his honest opinion, and he's looking at it logically. But, listen, if you're a Yankee fan, you kind of feel the same way in a lot of situations, Gordon. But on the other side of it, you're saying, well, good. Count us out. This is great. Good.
Yeah, no question, right? I'm waiting.
I know.
I'm waiting on
you're
the
waiting.
Yes, there you go. Handshakes all around, Larry. Yeah. There we go. That's my guy, Juan Soto.
That's it.
How about the technology going against the Astros for a change? Huh?
How about that? Yeah.
Woo, yeah. It's a brand new world.
It is. That's a big play.
Well, look, what Passan's saying is not wrong, right? They do have a very old team, and it does feel like this is the last year for a lot of the people. Not that they're necessarily their last year of their contracts, because DJ's under contract for 3 more years. Oh boy.
Yeah.
But this is the last year, I think, that you could be relying on certain people, right? Like Anthony Rizzo, this might be his last year here. Mm-hmm. And even some of the younger guys, Gleyber Torres, this might be his last. I think you're going to see, was last year a fluke where just everything that could go wrong did go wrong? Or was that the sign there's more trouble within this roster than just something that can be fixed with a Juan Soto and another move here or there? So that's what we play the season for. We will find out. And look at that.
Nice come from behind win, my friend.
What a way to open up a season, huh?
Nice. That's how you do it.
Yep. Astros blow a 4-0 lead. It's almost like a double win in that the Yankees won the game and the Astros lost by blowing a 4-0 lead. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like twice as nice, Larry.
Well, it's going to be a very happy Gordon Damon for the rest of this show tonight.
Oh, well, until Aaron Boone comes in and tells us about some injury. Juan Soto got hurt on that throw home.
Stop. Enjoy the win. Mm-hmm. Just enjoy the win for right now. We're not worried about post-game. Enjoy the win. You were down 4-0, a struggling starter.
Hell of a win.
And you come back and you not only tie, but you win the game. And listen, one of the things that you talked about, Gordon, you got good defensive play today, and the defense is major.
Yeah, no question. That was a major problem last year in both when Harrison Bader was out in center field. You know, you had one outfielder who could actually man his position, basically. So. Mm-hmm. Verdugo had a couple of nice plays. Soto, the game-saving throw there.
Mm-hmm.
Little shaky of a ninth inning from Clay Holmes, but let's avoid that for now.
That's
a nice, crisp, clean Yankee win. 1-0, Larry. They're going undefeated this season.
When we return, we'll get some reaction from you, all the Yankee fans, happy about the first win at 1-800-919-3776. A little later, Tom Thibodeau will stop by. Gordon, he was asked, will Julius Randle return? We'll hear what the Nick head coach had to say about that. And, of course, Gordon, even though this is the Dan Grosser Show, are we unveiling a new region?
Oh, yeah.
Baby.
Goat madness continues, man. I mean, can't hold it back now.
Oh, okay. So I think we'll do that around 7. I think about 7:30. We'll do a little goat madness and see what's going on there. And so we have lots to do. And we'll start it next on 98.7 ESPN.
Got him! Bang! Sorry.
This is the Dan Grosser Show on 98.7 ESPN.
1-800-919-3776. Horace and Damian for Grosser. Let's go to the phones. Hear from some Yankee fans. Jose's in Brooklyn. Start us off, Jose.
Hey, good evening, Larry, GD. Shout out to the company. It was funny because I was talking to Chantel earlier, like, you know, if I just gone off of the game, off of the reaction of Twitter, especially those first couple innings, I just would have given up on the season. Like, you know, because everybody was just like having these Armageddon like tweets, like, oh, my God, yada, yada, yada. And I'm just like, huh. This is the advent of living in a social media world, because I'm still old enough to, you know, live before, you know, the internet was a popular thing and all. But it was just like, oh, can we at least calm down a little? Because I know it didn't look great in that first inning. He did get rocked. He did, you know, give up three. But I'm just like, when you looked at how the game went, and then we actually saw the ebb and flow of a baseball game, it kind of looked like the what people would say a below average, you know, quality start. And, because the other guy from the Astros was just all over the place, and we were able to, you know, take advantage of that. So I'm happy with the win. We got to, you know, it's way too early. It's game one of 162. We do not need to be causing heart attacks on Twitter and getting everybody in an uproar. You know, we got the win, and especially like Gordon said, we got the win over the Astros, which is, you know, another key plus.
Doubly nice.
You know?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So we got that, and, you know, as far as, you know, my other point, I can't be remiss because, you know, we people can try to sweep it under the rug, but, you know, Mr. Woody Johnson and the New York Jets, like, if any of those comments come true where, you know, the quarterback is still on the team, Gordon, you have a right to make fun of us. You have a right to make fun of our misery.
Look, Jose, but... not even the Jets. Look, at this time, this is lying season, right? This is this is the draft. It's lying season.
I know.
You say things that you know are not true because you just want it for the best interest of your organization. I will put this out there right now, Jose, hand to God. Not even the New York Jets could keep Zach Wilson on the roster for another season. The Jets.
As Larry's laughing, when you say that, you know what this team will try to do. So I'm not going to hold you to it. But it will be, I'm going to tell you right now, if you thought talking me off of a ledge, you know, every Sunday night, we're going to be, they're going to be hilarious next season. But let me tell you something. I hope it's not true, because if he is anywhere on this roster, I don't want to hear any objections. This is definitely a Woody Johnson influence pick, because there's just no point at this time. Like, the GM wants him gone. The coach wants him gone. Let's stop this at this point now.
He wants to be gone.
Of all the people that want him gone, he wants gone most of all.
Larry. He's the one that really wants gone, Jose. Thanks for the phone call. He doesn't want to be here anymore. Why would you?
No. But look, Jose makes a good point. We've always kind of it's always kind of been out there that the reason why the Jets wanted him and the way that they handled him was because of the relationship that Zach Wilson and Woody Johnson have. Mm-hmm. If he is actually here, now I don't believe it will happen, but if he is and they refuse to release him and they keep him on the roster for another season,
unbelievable.
That defies any kind of logic that could ever exist.
It would make you wonder if you should put a petition together to try to get a change in ownership, Gordon.
Well, look, he can't be the worst owner in the NFL.
No, he's not.
He's not. But yeah, he's doing everything he can to become the worst owner in the NFL. If you keep Zach Wilson here another year, I mean, that makes zero sense.
None. Spike's in St. Pete. Hi, Spike.
It's a good way to start off. I'm a basketball 90% and baseball 10%, and both of my teams won. A little different style. But, Larry, did you get the picture I sent you, those Lindors?
No, I did not.
Now, open up your message
there.
Okay,
so, I will do that.
Buy one, get one free. I only bought six. And they went from $5.99 to $3.99, and I haven't had one yet. I need to find out, did you have another brownie after the victory?
Last night?
Be honest.
Last night, as I told Gordon, because of my loyalty to the show.
Right. Well, you got to keep your blood sugar even. You don't want big spikes and big lows.
No.
So that's why.
Right.
And with the show coming up, you don't want to go from one brownie before the show and then no brownies after the show.
So what I did, Spike. What I did, Spike, is I took one for the team. I had two brownies with ice cream on top.
There you go.
Well, vanilla or chocolate?
What a teammate.
Vanilla.
Yeah. Oh, you gotta go vanilla.
Okay. How do you feel today?
I feel pretty good.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I feel pretty
good.
So
real quickly, the Yankees come from behind, and my buddy and I, Gordon, you know the story. I've been best friend of mine since he played ball before Larry did at CCNY, and his band still performs. I won't go and give the band's name. It's not right to do on a sports show. But he said to me, you know, maybe Deuce McBride can score. You know, and I said, Larry and Gordon, they said they're going to make adjustments. He said, well, what are they going to do? If they double McBride, you know, last night they played another team with four starters out. So that game really doesn't. He said to me, and he says, ask Jordan and Larry, and I'll get off after this. If Ananobi comes back and he still has residual pain the next day in his elbow, we're up the creek with no paddle. That's his opinion. And I tend to agree with him because I looked it over. Last night was like a workout against the minor league team, but still, they did what they had to do. Thibodeau, I heard, reamed them out in the locker room at halftime.
I'm sure he did.
Defense.
I'm sure
he did.
He's
kind of bad for RJ. You know, he's gone through a horrific situation in his personal life. But
absolutely.
It's, you know, people go through that every day. These just happen to be athletes we watched. But I saw them on the sideline, and then I'm saying, how far can this Nick team go? All the guys I talk to, and you're two of the best, it's just like Gordon's ceiling keeps getting higher. Am I dreaming, or is there a chance that they could do something special?
There is a chance, Spike, that they could do something special. Thanks for the phone call. Things have to be right. You have to get the right matchups and everything. And you need to find out how healthy your personnel is going to be. And, you know, we'll hear from Tom Thibodeau shortly. And, he, you know, everybody's wondering what the heck is going on with Julius Randle. Now, OG Anunoby, who, as Harvey told me already, is not playing in the game with San Antonio. And I'm not surprised. I just think that they're going to wait until, Gordon, maybe the last week of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then throw him out there a couple of times, see how he is, see what's going on with the elbow, see how the elbow responds at this point in time. And it's going to be a tough decision, because after these easy games, you're going to have some teams that you're going to face, Gordon, that's going to affect your playoff positioning.
You know,
question. You've got Milwaukee, you've got mm-hmm. Boston, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to have OKC. You know, you're going to have some teams that could move you around a little bit. So it is going to be important. But here's the thing I have, Gordon, and see if you can follow me on this. And I was talking to a very good friend of mine who is, his basketball knowledge is, I just enjoy talking to him because it's like I'm getting a session. And he reminded me that right now, Deuce McBride is playing with the starters,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, and it's kind of a loose comparison, but follow me. IQ was really good playing with the starters as well. Now, yes, IQ last season was six-man mm-hmm. contestant because he was playing so well. But he really got rolling as a starter. And then Gordon, when he went back to the bench and his minutes got cut, he wasn't the same player, especially in that Miami series, which, to be honest with you, might have cost him some money. If he was able to do well in that Miami series, Gordon, I don't know. I'm not saying it would have changed, but it might have been a little different for him here. I don't know if McBride is going to be able to go back to the bench when OG is back in or Randall's back and whatnot. Will he still be as effective on the bench as he will as a starter? Because as a starter, Gordon, you know, you prepare a certain way, you got mm-hmm. a certain rhythm, mm-hmm. I'm coming out to start, I know what's going on, everything is there. It's a little different once you've had those minutes and you go back to the bench. It's a different type of preparation. I don't know if he's going to be able to continue to be as productive.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll just say it would be a nice problem to have in that if he goes back to the bench, is because you're healthier than mm-hmm. you are right now. So mm-hmm. that is going to be a question. I'm sure it will be a bit of an adjustment. And unfortunately, it's not the ideal situation where he's going to have to adjust to it. Maybe with what, six games left in the regular season. So it's kind of learn on the fly. But with Tibbs, people can criticize it, but a lot of decisions are sink or swim, right? There's no babying anybody. It's you win or else, and you produce or else. So I hear what you're saying. It's a good comparison between him and IQ, and it'll just be something that you have to keep an eye on. But I guess the one benefit is if he is going back to the bench, that at least is a sign that you got a couple of guys back that you're hoping are going to be key cogs here as you try to get deep into the playoffs.
Yep, there's no doubt about that. And listen, right now he's a starter. So, keep doing what you're doing because you're doing it well.
Live in the moment.
Absolutely. And I will say this, Gordon, his confidence has never been higher. You can just see it.
Yeah.
He doesn't get down on himself if he misses a shot. You know, he's not looking to the bench to see if he's coming out. He knows he's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. So, having confidence and knowing that you got some playing time, Gordon, it's different. You're able to just play the game. You're not thinking. You're not looking to the bench. Oh, my God, I made a mistake. That means I'm going to the bench. I may never play not only tonight but for the next four games. It's a little different.
Yeah, and in terms of like what the Knicks ceiling could be, it's kind of hard to know that without knowing who the Knicks are.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Like when we get to the playoffs, who's playing and how are they playing? Do we get to see Randle before then? Mm. Does he get a chance to shake off the rust? It just seems hard for me to believe at this point that he's going to come back, be himself, mm-hmm. shake off the rust, and be ready to go in playoffs where that's not really when he's excelled.
By the way, the NCAA continues tonight, Gordon. The West Regional Semifinal just underway. Number 2, Arizona against number 6, Clemson. And we've got Clemson with a 2-0 lead so far. When we return.
Subject to change.
Subject to change at any moment.
Yeah.
I wonder who's betting on that. I'm sorry. When we return, Tom Thibodeau answers a question that people are wondering about, but will he really answer it? We'll find out next on 98.7 ESPN. Bottom of the hour, Gordon. I think we'll – how about some goat madness bottom of the hour?
All right. Sounds good. Yeah, we'll unveil a new region. We're starting to whittle things down to the Sweet 16 already.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Wow. Moving on. Just moving along. Moving along. Gordon, after last night's victory, Tom Thibodeau was asked, what's up with Julius Randle? Is he coming back?
Yeah, we just take it day by day. Obviously, we don't want any of our players to be injured. OG, same thing. Just when you're out and you're injured, your games are your rehab. Each day, put as much as you can in, and you never know when it's going to turn. So we're hopeful. You also have to prepare for your reality, which is what you have right now. So we have to find ways to win games, and I think we've done that. But we're hopeful we'll have everyone in the end.
Thanks.
Not very specific, right? Like you're hoping for, oh no, he's coming back. We plan on this next week. We plan on this the following couple of days. It's still very up in the air, it feels like.
Or even, well, he's doing some things. At least he's doing contact. You know, so I'll even take that, Gordon.
Yeah.
He's working out with the guys. He's doing some things around practice. Give me something. Give me something.
This is a time where no news is not good news.
No. We said it last night. Woj is not saying anything. That's not good.
That's not. You never want that.
No, I need Woj to step it up.
Now, with OG, I feel like they're just kind of biding their time, and he is going to be back.
Yes,
I think so. When he comes back, there does have to be some concern that it's going to flare up again, or it doesn't. I'm not sure that story is over when he does come back. I'm sure it's the type of injury that's going to need some monitoring and checking in on it, and maybe some different treatments, and maybe he's limited some even when he does return. But with Randle, it just kind of feels like everything's in a holding pattern.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Coach, talk a little bit about Deuce McBride's confidence right now, especially offensively.
It's a good question. Like, where does confidence come from? Well, it comes from your work that you put in. It comes from your preparation. When you see the results, and we saw it in practice, the volume of shots and the accuracy of his makes in practice. And now, when he came back in training camp, it was clear. And now that his role has expanded, you know, he's got a good rhythm and he can really shoot the ball. And on top of that, his defense is top of the line. It was elite coming in. It's special to watch.
It's the only thing that's kept him on this team, Gordon Damon, has been his defense. It wasn't his offense. It was his defense. And, you know, listen, give him credit. He did not get discouraged. He didn't take a negative attitude with the lack of playing time. He hung in there. He did what he needed to do. And it's paid dividends for him. And so, once again, every level that you go up is another challenge. And right now he's done a great job as a starter. So the next challenge is going to be, can he make a similar contribution in the postseason in whatever minutes he has? Can he be that guy that runs the offense? Can he be that guy that hits the three against a better level of competition night after night after night? That's the next step for Deuce McBride.
Yeah, well, I mean, I agree with Tibbs that it's not – I don't think that the confidence comes from preparation or practice or anything like that. I think it comes from seeing results. That's where ultimately confidence comes from, and he's had results. And so you just kind of hope that continues no matter what role he finds himself in. But I think that definitely you're seeing what the ceiling now is for Deuce McBride. And I don't know that we ever thought that we were going to see it at this level.
No, I know I didn't. Mm-hmm. I never thought he'd get this much time to play, that you could see anything.
Well, right. What is it? Necessity is the mother of invention.
Yeah.
Because of the injuries, they needed him, and he's gotten a chance, and he has run with it.
He has run. No question about it. More from Tom Thibodeau in a moment, but first, let's go to another Tom. Tommy in Connecticut. He's next on 98.7 ESPN.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are we doing?
We're good, Tommy. What you got, man?
So just want to talk a little bit. First of all, Gordon, what an that I watched a clip of that Juan Soto play in Murray Field, like, I don't know, 15 times already. To pick it on the short hop like that and then make that throw.
And you know, the rap on him is that he's a butcher in the outfield. Not today, he wasn't.
No, that was huge. And then just on the Rangers real quick, I mean, I feel like they're not getting enough shine. I mean, they're the best team in the NHL, probably the best team in New York. And this is a heavyweight matchup that we got tonight. I think it's the last game that they have against a Western Conference team. But I'm just so excited to see, like, Artemi Panarin and Nathan MacKinnon go against each other, because those are probably two of the four best hockey players in the league. So should be a good one.
Just who wins, Tommy? Who wins, Tommy?
Oh, out in Colorado, I can't.
It's tight.
And I don't know who's in goal for the Rangers tonight. So, if it was Igor, I'd give us a fighting chance. Quickie, I don't know. He hasn't played a lot recently, so I wouldn't bet money on either side. I don't think.
All right,
I'd bet the over.
Bet the over.
Before you let Tommy go, I know there's been a lot of conversation on this. Do you want to face the Lightning in that opening round, or would you rather avoid the Lightning?
Absolutely want nothing to do with the Lightning. Yeah. Give me the Capitals.
Yeah, I hear that. I mean, but if you have to go through them anyway, like...
Just be healthy. How about that, Gordon?
Okay, well, look, that certainly you can have both things there. You could be healthy and face the Lightning.
Well, I mean, we're down two huge defensemen right now. So
I understand.
You got to get those guys back on the ice. Yeah.
But if I gave you those two defensemen back on the ice, do you want to face the Lightning?
No.
All right.
I don't want the Lightning.
I got it, Tommy.
Late in the playoffs as possible is when I want the Lightning.
I got it. Okay. For Tommy, the Lightning to the Rangers is like the Heat to the Knicks.
Yeah, but I mean,
don't
I feel
see
like there's
until
something
the
about
possible.
But like to get to where you want to, and with the Rangers, it's not just about getting past the Lightning; it's about getting all the way to the Cup and winning it all.
Sure. Absolutely.
I would think there is something to be said for, hey, I want to finally get over that mountain. Like, I want to get over all the mountains, but that's where it starts.
Mm-hmm.
I want to finally put the dagger into this team that's tortured us.
Right. But I think, and this is, you know, comparing it to being a Knicks fan, I don't want to deal with Miami until as late as possible.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Because I know what that battle is like. And, I know what I got to do to go through that. And I know what that's physically going to be about. And I know how good they are. And I know how well coached they are. And it's like, you know, Miami. It's like, oh, here we go with them again. So I think, you know, and you understand that that's what Tommy's dealing with. But, you know, so in other words, if I'm going to lose to them, I don't want to lose to them in the first round, Gordon. I want to lose to them as late as possible.
Yeah, I hear you. But there is something to be said for if we can get past them in the first round, then we're really – now this year is different. That's a real sign that this year is going to be – this is not the same old Rangers.
Right. Unless you lose going forward. And
well, look,
and
if you lose to anybody, it's not going to be good.
And then the reaction is, well, you thought you won your Stanley Cup when you beat Tampa in the first round.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
That's the other side of that. Oh, it's terrible. When we return, Gordon, you will give us a couple of results from last night?
Sure, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, Goat Madness rolls on.
It
and
does.
It's all up to the listeners.
And we'll hear from them next on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Dan Grosser Show on 98.7 ESPN. This is Goat Madness.
I am the greatest.
Jordan to the circle, puts the shot in the air. Good! The game's over, and the Bulls have won.
Who is the GOAT?
We know!
Oh! LeBron James with no regard for human life.
It's time for you to determine who's the greatest of all time, once and for all.
This one is headed for New Jersey. High into the upper deck. Barry Bonds with a spectacular three-run homer.
Because that's the bottom line. The Stone Cold sets up.
This is Goat Madness.
Oh, here we go. We have an update from last night where we gave you the new schedule for our regions, and now we got another region tonight, Gordon Damer.
Yeah, absolutely, Larry. Pretty much things went as expected last night.
Chalk.
The number one seed, Wayne Gretzky, does move on. He easily took out Denzel Washington, Michael Phelps over Eddie Van Halen. The real kingpin in this whole thing, Don LaGreca, chewed up and spat out Joey Chestnut.
Yep.
And then Michael Jackson, the number two seed. So much like the real tournament, all the number one seeds are still left.
Mm-hmm.
So as we move into this second region and revisit this one.
Yes.
To remind people of the matchups for tonight. The first one is our number one seed in region number two, who is...
Raiders to get a stop. Brady, deep shot. To the end zone for Miller, and it is caught for a touchdown.
Tom Brady, seven-time Super Bowl champ. Is he the GOAT, Larry?
Mm.
Or could it be the number nine seed who he goes up against tonight, who is?
This hollandaise smells like burnt rubber. God, it's hot in here.
Yes, of course. Who could forget Mrs. Doubtfire and Robin Williams, the number nine seed. Our second matchup, this one, one of the big upsets early on. The number 12 seed, who is looking to pull off another upset, who is?
Kobe tiptoes the sideline, throws it through with both hands.
For three again, yes!
Well, the whole night's kind of felt like a blur.
You talked about him being in one of those zones. Yeah. He's definitely in it right now.
It's about the W. That's why I turned it on. It just turned into something special.
When I was at the free throw line, you know, 79 points, the whole crowd started standing up, and I just remember thinking, man, I better not miss these free throws.
And an 81-point game.
I couldn't even dream of this when I was a kid. You know, there's no way possible.
Yeah, the highlight longer than the actual tournament there for, I thought. All right, yeah, number 12 seed is, of course, Kobe Bryant using the Mamba mentality to maybe pull off another upset. He's going up against the number four tonight, who is? Yes, the king, Elvis. He might be the king, Larry, but that's not what we're looking for. The GOAT.
Yes, we are.
Our third matchup, this one's an interesting one. The number six seed, who is?
What did the five fingers say to the face?
What?
Slap!
Yes. That one has to be a little bit shorter. You can't have long a clip of the great Dave Chappelle.
Not on the airwaves.
Not if we want to keep our jobs.
Absolutely.
He'll go up against the number three seed, who is?
That's a dangerous ball, and Iniesta's onto it. Iniesta tees up Messi! And just like that, Barcelona a level. It's the first.
Yes, Messi.
Wow.
Is our number three seed. So he pulled off the win last time out against Joffrey Baratheon, the all-time villain of television. He was no match for Messi. We'll see if Messi can do it again. And then our final matchup tonight, Larry. How do you go about this one? The number seven seed is...
Rice has just set a Super Bowl record with 12 catches. He's in motion. Montana. Touchdown, John Taylor.
Joe Montana. Mm. Only a number seven seed. That sounds ridiculous, but that's the way it came out. He'll go up against the number 15, who is...
Wow.
Assuming he's going to sing here in a second.
I've got you under my skin.
But does he have Joe Montana under his skin?
I've got you.
That, of course, the great Frank Sinatra. So those are your matchups for tonight. Tom Brady versus Robin Williams. Kobe versus Elvis. Versus. I shouldn't say verse. I always say verse. I get corrected in that. A very early radio jazz. Not verse. It's verses.
Yes.
Kobe versus Elvis. Chappelle takes on Messi and Montana and Frank Sinatra. Voting, Larry, is now open.
At Gordon Damer, at Hardesty ESPN, at ESPN NY, 98 underscore 7 FM. Vote early, vote often. let's figure out who is going to be the GOAT. Harvey, let me ask you a question. Are you surprised at, A, the amount of soccer folks who are involved in GOAT Madness and how well they've done so far?
No, I'm not surprised at all. Soccer does have its fair share of GOATs, and in the modern age that we still have with Messi and Ronaldo, those guys still cling on. So thankfully Messi's still alive, and I will vote for him as well.
Mm-hmm.
Soccer does dominate the space here.
See, so. This shows you, Larry, I think, what a fair guy I am.
Yes.
Soccer is not my thing.
No.
I actually kind of despise it. Hockey is not my thing.
What a surprise.
I don't despise hockey. Hockey's fine. It's just not my cup of tea. I enjoy it in the playoffs. I just don't like regular season hockey. But there you have Wayne Gretzky, the number one overall seed.
Yes.
Even I would not deny him his greatness.
Absolutely not.
And soccer, let me ask you this, Harvey. Is there anybody who I egregiously left out?
From the soccer goats?
Yeah, from soccer goats.
No, who did we have? We had Pele.
Yeah, Pele
Messi
was in there.
And Ronaldo.
Messi was in there, mm-hmm. and Ronaldo was in there. Those are the only ones that you can legitimately throw into a goat conversation beyond soccer.
Sure. I mean, if you wanted to, you could have added Maradona.
Right.
Because he and Pele
would have been pumped up for it. He would have been getting ready in the back room someplace.
Yeah, see, really.
That's just uncalled for. But No, I think you got the three ones there.
Can you imagine the celebration if he got named GOAT?
He's at it again.
Mm-hmm. He's not going to stop. You know that, Harvey. He's not
going to
stop.
I just think it's too hard to have a fourth soccer person. I would wonder what area got the most people in, right? Like what region got the – or what conference got the most region in? Like we talk about that, but the Big East only getting three.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
mm-hmm.
I'll take a look at that later on. I think maybe football got the most people in.
Probably. Basketball's got a fair share, too.
Yeah, basketball's got a fair share, too. So there is no one area that dominated, I don't think.
No, there is not. 1-800-919-3776. Andy's in Yonkers. What's up, Andy?
Hey, Larry. How you doing? Been a long time.
I'm doing
time.
Great. Yeah, what's up, Andy?
That's good. Listen, I just want to make a comment about the Rangers. I've been watching them since the 60s. Okay. I feel real confident as far as long as we're healthy with the three defensemen coming back, and I would definitely take the Rangers tonight if they had those three defensemen, and I would take them against the Lightning because I've seen the Rangers play this year, and they have shut teams down. The one question mark is Shesterkin going to be as good as he's been in the past because sometimes I see him letting a few soft goals. I'm just saying that maybe the defense is not healthy. That's why he's letting a few soft ones. And the key is the coach, because Laviolette makes in-game plays where Jalon didn't. And I think that's a biggie for hockey.
Well, Andy, let me ask you this. Since you've been watching the Rangers so long, a lot of conversation. LaGreca's been answering questions about it. Seems like Andy Gordon for, like, all season. Are you as concerned about their lack of offense, even strength? That we know what they can do with special teams. They're great. How do you think this plays in the postseason?
I'm not concerned. Okay. I'm not concerned because if we shut them down, you know, maybe the other team gets one goal, we're able to score two or three. Because I've seen them shut down teams, like some really good high-powered teams this year. They don't get in front of the net. Now, you can't go by what's happened the last couple of weeks because there's been a lot of open ice in front of the goaltender because of the guys being hurt. But once the guys come back, you know, no team scares me, except maybe for Nashville. Nashville's hot. But we had to go a long way to get to them.
All right, Andy. Thanks for checking in. By the way, Rangers Avalanche pregame at 8:30 here on 98.7 ESPN. Puck drops a little bit after 9. And, you know, listen, the Rangers have – Gordon, let's face it. The Rangers have been very well. They've played very well. They've been very consistent this year. Yeah, they've had some ups and downs. You always do over a regular season. Nobody's, you know – nobody plays perfect every game. And they had some trouble. But for the most part, for me, they've been outstanding. And when Shesterkin was struggling, you know, the backup goalie was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And he won some games for him. And it allowed Shesterkin to get back on track. And obviously, as you get more towards the postseason, you're going to play more Shesterkin because you want to get him in that role. You want to get him rolling. You want to get him in that mindset. And you want to, you know, get all the kinks out before you go into the postseason. Because everybody knows I don't care how much you score or whatever. You get a hot goaltender. A hot goaltender can take you a long way.
That is the great equalizer. That's why it's such a crapshoot, right?
Yep.
I mean, in other sports, home field or home ice means a lot. And I guess to a certain degree it does in the NHL. But it just feels like every year, and last year a perfect example with the Bruins, who just steamrolled through the regular season. And then you get into the playoffs and it's a whole new game.
Yeah, it is. It's different. It's a whole new mentality. It's just different, Gordon. It's just different. And so, you know, the one thing that the Rangers have, they have a veteran coach. He knows what to do. He's not afraid to make line changes during the game. You know, he does a number of different things. So, you know, let's hope that they can pay off what's been a very, very successful regular season with a nice long run in the postseason.
Well, I mean, the coaching change has been a success so far, but this is not what we judge the coaching change on.
Nope, we do not. We do not. We judge what happens in the postseason. That's what it's got to be. We'll continue the conversation here on 98.7 ESPN. I've been doing some different games. Now, I've gone through different stages, right?
Okay.
I go through, and it depends on how I'm feeling emotionally.
Okay.
So I've gone through a couple of stages recently where I've been just, I've been a sniper, Gordon. I've been taking people out from rooftops. I've been, you know, just taking people out. Just
okay.
Swoop.
Right. Now, are these real people or are these people
these
that are
the
also
phone.
Playing the
these,
game?
These are
or
game. No.
These
no,
are
no,
just
no.
computer generated.
Computer people. Yeah,
NPCs,
these,
as they call them.
Yes. They're very good. Yes. No AIs. Just computer generated folks. Just taking them out. Going, just enjoying it. Just
right.
You know. Which kind of bothered me for a moment on a couple
Why?
Of occasions. Well, you know. Makes me wonder what's going on. What
oh,
the other Larry's
just,
got.
It's just good fun. Know, it's just good fun.
What the other Larry's. Because they're all headshots, Gordon. They're not
yeah.
body
well,
shots.
Well, those are the ones that really count.
Yeah, and they're more points. So you,
right.
you, know, you aim for
you
the head.
You got to get the most points. Exactly.
Absolutely. You know, so we're not trying to get a participation trophy here. We're trying to
exactly.
win.
Exactly.
All right. And then every once in a while, you do some sports games. You know, a little baseball, a little football, a little basketball, whatnot. And then sometimes you do the crossword puzzles, Gordon. Where you're trying to come up with words
yeah,
and things
I'm
like
not,
that.
I'm not good at the crosswords. And I do. I have my own games that I play. I play the Wordle. I do the Wordle
okay.
every morning. I
mm-hmm.
do the connections. That the person that comes up with that is a sadistic person because they just they come up with the most ridiculous things in the world.
Well, the next person, and this is the person that I really don't like. It's the person that gives you two different things side by side, but they're different, and you got to find out what's different from them.
Right.
I hate these people, Gordon.
No, that's
Gordon,
something
I hate
wrong
these,
with
people.
These people. I would much rather trust the person who's playing the sniper game.
Yes, agree.
Than the person who's playing the game where they're intentionally trying to. The sniper game is straightforward. You
yeah.
know what the rules are.
That's it. Get rid of them. It's done. Get rid of them as soon as possible. Get rid of them before they get rid of you.
Exactly.
That's it. You know. But this, you know. So you look in. Going, you, wait a minute. Is that the same thing over there? Wait a minute. Is that a speck? Is that something?
Well, you go through the stage. Like, I go through the stages every day when I'm doing, like, the word games.
Yes.
I'm not going to get this today. This is impossible.
Yeah.
This is. And at the end of the day, if I get it, the reaction is, wow, this was so easy. I'm so smart. And then if
yes.
I don't get it, this is BS. This is complete BS. I don't like this. This is garbage. This is not a fair game.
That's right.
Can't be me.
It can't be me.
Can't
it's the computer.
Be me. No,
what's wrong
it's
with
the
this
people
thing?
That come up with these games.
Yeah, what's wrong with them? Why are they mad with me? Because they had an argument with somebody, and now they're taking it out on me. Just do what you got to do. And
the
stop.
Connection person really likes birds. They always put birds in the thing.
Yeah.
Why are we so hyper focused on birds missing a letter? What? That's not a category.
That's right. That's right. So I'm you know, thought about making this phone go airborne, but I kind of need it.
Yeah.
Kind of tossed. No question. Thought about, you know, phew. Back to the phones to go. 1-800-919-3776. AJ's in the car. What's up, AJ?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good. What you got?
So let me start off by saying I'm not a Julius Randle guy whatsoever. And it seems to me that a lot of people think that the Knicks can, you know, make a run at the finals, go to the Eastern Conference Finals without Julius Randle. I'm of the total opposite mindset. This team has been playing, you know, unbelievable this year. And I'm just saying, let's say OG Anunoby comes back, you know, healthy for the playoffs, take out Julius Randle. I absolutely think this team could make the finals without Julius Randle. I just think if he comes back, he's going to take away minutes from, you know, one of the guys coming off the bench, or, you know, everybody's been contributing. And I just feel like he's going to, you know, be a turnover machine in the playoffs. He's going to try to do too much. But I'm just of the mindset this team could absolutely make a run at the finals if they're, you know, healthy, minus Randle. I just want to know what you guys think about that.
All right, AJ, thanks for the phone call. If you're going to tell me that I'm going to get, and this is crazy what I'm going to say, Gordon, because I haven't gotten it from Julius Randle in the postseason consistently either. But if you, but if you're telling me that I'm going to get 15 and 9 or 18 and 10 from Julius Randle, because I don't get 20, I'm not, you know, he does 25 and 10, but I don't get 25 and 10 in the postseason, right?
No.
So if I can get 18 and 9 from him in the postseason, that would be great. You need scoring. You need another consistent scorer. Because, Gordon, you know this. They're going to take away Brunson. They're going to make it very hard for Brunson. It's going to be very hard. Already, mm-hmm. you know, physical play, you're seeing that the officials are changing how they're calling things, and they're going to swallow their whistles even more in the postseason. So, you know, Brunson getting in the lane and doing his magic, it's going to be really hard for him. It's going to be real physical. They're going to try to beat him up. You need another bona fide scorer. And I'm not a Randle guy either. But, and plus, I don't know what Randle I'm getting coming back, but I need another scorer where I'm going to get some consistent scoring, Gordon, and I don't know who that's going to be if it's not Julius Randle.
Yeah, this is, you don't like to think this way because it feels like things are on such a good track right now. This is set up for the nightmare scenario if you're Julius Randle.
Yep.
The team is playing great right now. They're playing, mm-hmm. they've been playing great without him.
Yep.
They have not really missed him in terms of wins and losses. They're on the verge of maybe 50 wins in the first time in forever. He's not a playoff performer, at least has not been in his career so far. Who knows? Maybe another opportunity, and things are different. But this time around, there's the most pressure that the Knicks have been under since he's been here.
Mm-hmm.
And he's coming. It's the worst possible situation. Yep. Coming off this long layoff, probably not a chance to get healthy,
mm-hmm.
or get the at least the rust off. Maybe he will be close to 100%. It's kind of hard to envision him being 100% at this
right.
point, but
right.
But he's not going to be 100% healthy, and he's going to have to shake off the rust at a time where he has not excelled in the
yeah,
postseason.
That's right.
And look, to me, the ceiling is Eastern Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
It feels like with Knicks fans, anything less than Eastern Conference Finals is going to be a major decision. Like if they get if they win in the first round
mm-hmm.
and don't have a second round, that's it almost feels like with Knicks fans, even if they went seven games in the second round but lost, they would not be happy about that. They would not take any positives out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have very high expectations. The team playing really well without him. He's not a beloved player here to begin with. It feels like right. a nightmare scenario for Julius Randle when and if he does come back.
And if they don't go deeper into the postseason, Gordon, oh, the Tibbs haters will return.
Well, the Tibbs haters will return, but they might be a little bit wet. The Randle haters, they might have a point.
The airport. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they might have a point, though.
They might. And see, then it puts the front office in an interesting position. It does, because then it's like, okay, do we have to move him? Is he the stumbling block? Can we go where we want to go if he's still here? It's tough.
There was no market for him even when he was more productive.
That's right.
Like, what's the market going to be for him when he's another year older, coming off an injury which held him out for most of the season? The appeal of Julius Randle is you can count on him during the regular season.
Right, right.
You can't say that this year.
No, and the postseason you can't say that either.
No, it's night and day. Maybe
it
there
is.
It's hard to think of somebody who has been more night and day, a guy who has been an all NBA type player in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Who becomes the least efficient player you've ever seen come playoff time.
And what's really unfortunate for him was he's never been able to shake that first year. He's never given anybody to shake it.
Right. It's all well and good to do it in the regular season, but as we were talking about with the Rangers, the regular season only matters so far.
Yeah.
And it only matters to the extent of the postseason.
Yep. That's it. And last season he got hurt.
Yep.
Against Miami. So you can't go against that. So now you're looking at his body of work in the postseason. It's incomplete. Mm-hmm. It's incomplete. And so when you're looking at what you've got as a team, as a franchise, and you're saying, okay, what will it take for us to move to the next level? You're going to have to look at what are you going to do? If he comes back and is not, and has a subpar series, then the question becomes, how much of it is it him in the postseason, and how much of it is it him not being healthy?
But it also is the fact that when he comes back, he is going to demand a certain level of attention and shots and plays and all that type of stuff. And it could very well upset the apple cart. And at the end of the day, we don't know how the playoffs are going to turn out. But if they don't go the way Knick fans want, we do know who is going to get the blame.
No question about it.
No, there's no doubt about whatsoever. It's the coach and it's Randle.
Yep, there's no doubt about it. And you've already heard it. You heard Spike talk about the and other callers. The lane is so open. The ball moves. Mm-hmm. All this, you know, all this is it's beautiful. It's this, it's that. It is. But once again, in the postseason, Gordon, I don't know that the lane is always that open. It's a different game in the postseason.
Absolutely.
It's so different. You know, you're playing tougher teams. You're playing teams that are better. It's not easy. This is going to be as stressful a postseason for a Knick fan as you can have.
Oh, no question. Right, because that comes from expectations, right? Yeah. We can't. You made it to the second round last year. You can't not make it to the second round this year. And you want to see them move beyond the second round this year. And that's going to be tough.
And they've played well without him.
Oh, yeah.
And see, that's the other thing. They've played well without him. It's kind of like, we don't need you. Even though they do. But, you know, it's that way because they've had some success. So it's going to be interesting playoffs, Gordon. You can't even sit and enjoy it.
No, sit and enjoy now. Sit and enjoy beating the Pistons and the Spurs and all those things. Enjoy that. Take it all in.
Yep. 1-800-919-3776. Hardesty and Damer for Grasso on 98.7 ESPN.
This